Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, the future of work is an impending reality, and Singaporeans have largely accepted that, but findings reveal that a good majority of them are still wary of the changes and what these will bring to their work lives, though.
What do companies in Singapore need to do to ensure that improvements in change management are made? Well, what is the role of diversity and inclusion in this, and why is tackling matters of discrimination and representation core to ensuring a smooth transition towards the future of work?
We find out from Cecily Ng, who is Area Vice President at Salesforce. Cecily, thanks for coming today. What will the future of work look like in Singapore? I know that's a very broad question, but right off the bat, we have to ask it, Cecily.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, happy to have you.
I think the world of work as we know it is really going through a rapid phase of change. And automation comes in the form of artificial intelligence, and robotics are changing so many industries and disrupting industries. And so as a result, it is really changing the jobs and skills required in all across these sectors. And so we see in the future there's going to be a need for the skills that can work side by side in collaboration with technology and machine, and also people with skill sets such as, you know, they're capable of doing things the machine aren't very good at doing. So some of the tasks will be changed, but skill sets like, you know, emotional intelligence, like critical thinking, like design, creative, you still need a human to do it. So these skill sets are going to be important. So I think the future of work is going to look different. So we have jobs today that didn't exist 10 years ago. And we're going to have jobs that we do not have today that's going to be mainstream. And so the key focus here, I think, for everybody to think about, including kind of the government and enterprises and employers, is really to have the retraining and the reskilling of the most important asset, which is the people, to keep up with the pace of change in technology.
Maybe you can talk us through, Cecily, how will jobs be redefined in the next 5 years? Give us some examples, if you can.
Yeah, so if you see, kind of look back in history, so every time when there's a technology advancement, a lot of jobs will be disrupted. But at the same time, a whole new set of jobs will be created. So if you take transportation as an example, so not so many years ago, 100 years ago, that the main transport around the world is by horse carriages. And a lot of people's livelihood is based around that. And with the invention of, you know, engine and cars, and then automotive kind of take over the whole horse carriage. So this whole new industry is born. And then now we have driverless car, you know, this kind of new mode of transportation. Electric cars are going to disrupt the automobile industry again. So every time we see an advancement of technology, it really means that there's an opportunity, you know, to further improve the standard of living, to raise productivity. But again, I think we just have to brace that the future of work is going to be very different from what we need today. And I think some of the tasks will be automated for sure, but there will be new jobs that's created. So you talk about, you know, what kind of job are they? I talk about people who are willing or they are able to work alongside machines and robots. I think that's an important skill, but also people who can train the machine. So if you go through Changi Airport, the newer terminals, you don't see custom officers at some of the checkpoints, and it is replaced by machine, which is doing facial recognition. But who is going to train the facial recognition technology? It still requires human. So I think the role is still there. It's just the job will be different.
So with this redefinition, would you say public concerns about AI stealing jobs, automation making me redundant, that's unfounded or not?
The World Economic Forum has done a study, and they predicted that there will be about 113 million jobs that's going to replace the 90 over million that is going to be displaced. So net-net, in kind of 2020, there will be more jobs that's replaced,
that lost.
But again, I think the concern is valid. And I think the concern shouldn't be whether jobs will be displaced, but the concern should be whether people are prepared and whether companies are prepared to invest in retraining and reskilling the workforce to be prepared for this change in the future.
Well, why is inclusivity in a digital workplace important?
Don't discriminate against the robot, is it?
You bring up an excellent point here because I think the advancement of technology give us really an opportunity, and there is reason for us to be optimistic. But at the same time, we live in a not so equal world, right? So the advancement of technology and the access to technology can further widen the gap, whether it's racial, whether it's age, whether it's social status. And so I think we need to be concerned about, first of all, whether technology is used correctly, so used for good mm-hmm. and not used for bad. Mm-hmm. And secondly, how do we prevent inequality or bias that is from human that creep into the technology and make the gap even wider? So I think that's an important topic for us to think about.
Because it will maybe still be the human bias that programs
absolutely.
The software, the hardware, whatever.
Absolutely.
And that then the bias just continues, right? So how do you think companies, Cecily, can actively tackle discrimination the lack of representation?
Yeah, so the base of that is really to build a workforce that is diverse and inclusive. And when you have different opinions, different viewpoint, and different representation, you avoid having that bias that's resulting in technology. Whether you're a company who are, you know, producing technology, developing technology, or company who is adopting technology, that I think, you know, company like Salesforce, for example, we are a big advocate that business is a big platform for change. So we have our influence in the industry, mm-hmm. and we can also be a force of good. So we really advocate. So we have an office called the Ethnic Use of Technology, so Humane and Ethnic Use of Technology Office. So they really look at how our technology is being used and whether that follow kind of the North Star of our company, that core values. And so that's going to be very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking to Cecily Ng, Area Vice President at Salesforce. Cecily, tell us, how else is Salesforce leading the way in D&I?
In terms of diversity and inclusion, that is a very passionate topic for us. That's a big topic for our CEO, and it trickled down all the way through the organization. So we advocate diversity and inclusion through equal pay. So equal opportunity, equal advancement, and equal education, access to education. We have the company CEO top-down. So in the past 4 years, the company has spent a total of $10 million to equalize pay inequality within the company, and we are going to continue to do that, and that's going to be built into our annual program and process when we look at salaries and compensation. But the other thing is we're going to continue, like when we throughout from the hiring to the way, you know, female are represented, all the way through promotion, we take diversity into consideration. And we also work with education institution in Singapore to make sure that, you know, underprivileged children, families, they, you know, have access to good quality public education, and of course STEM initiative for girls.
Mm. How else are you going to include these plans here in Singapore?
So,
also from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, each country or each region may have sort of different rules pertaining to that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it cannot be something just top down because every country has its kind of own culture, right?
Yeah. So and it can't be one size fits all.
Yeah. So the company allow employees to be an ally. So everybody can be a diversity an inclusion ally. And so in Salesforce, we have this group called Ohana Groups. So they can be a group focused on ability. They can be a group focused on LGBTI, right? They can be a group focused on...
Ohana means family.
Family, okay. You're absolutely right. So these are the group that are ground up. So they are not mandated by the company, but these are volunteers in the company that are passionate about a particular cause. And then they will kind of come up with a program and initiative to drive that awareness in the company so that everybody, so it has a multiplier effect. So not only in the company, but it's also, you know, to the community we work and live in, that everybody can be a diversity and inclusion ally.
The importance of inclusivity in the digital workplace and how it's important to the future of work. Cecily Ng, a big thank you. Area Vice President at Salesforce. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.